Death Comes for the Archbishop by Willa Cather. It was the Indian manner to vanish into the landscape, not to stand out against it. The Hopi villages that were set upon rock mesas were made to look like the rock on which they sat, were imperceptible at a distance. The Navajo hogans among the sand and willows were made of sand and willows. None of the pueblos would, at that time, admit glass windows into their dwellings. The reflection of the sun on the glazing was to them ugly and unnatural, even dangerous. Moreover, the Indians disliked novelty and change. They came and went by the old paths, worn into the rock by the feet of their fathers, used the old natural stairway of stone to climb to their mesa towns, carried water from the old springs, even after white men had dug wells. In the working of silver or drilling of turquoise, the Indians had exhaustless patience. Upon their blankets and belts and ceremonial robes, they lavished their skill and pains. But their conception of decoration did not extend to the landscape. They seemed to have none of the Europeans' desire to master nature, to arrange and recreate. They spent their ingenuity in the other direction, in accommodating themselves to the scene in which they found themselves. This was not so much from indolence, the bishop thought, as from an inherited caution and respect. It was as if the great country were asleep, and they wished to carry on their lives without awakening it, or as if the spirits of earth and air and water were things not to antagonize and arouse. When they hunted, it was with the same discretion. An Indian hunt was never a slaughter. They ravaged neither the rivers nor the forest, and if they irrigated, they took as little water as would serve their needs. The land and all that it bore they treated with consideration. Not attempting to improve it, they never desecrated it. As Father Latour and Eusebio approached Albuquerque, they occasionally fell in with company. Indians going to and fro on the long winding trails across the plains or up into the Sandia Mountains. They had, all of them, the same quiet way of moving, whether their pace was swift or slow, and the same unobtrusive demeanor. An Indian wrapped in his bright blanket, seated upon his mule or walking beside it, moving through the pale new-budding sagebrush, winding among the sand waves, as if it were his business to pass unseen and unheard through a country awaking with spring. North of Laguna, two Zuni runners sped by them, going somewhere east on Indian business. They saluted Eusebio by gestures with the open palm, but did not stop. They coursed over the sand with the fleetness of young antelope, their bodies disappearing and reappearing among the sand dunes, like the shadows that eagles cast in their strong, unhurried flight.